Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we live in a culture that likes to trivialize the gravity of sin, likes to unsin it, make it go away because it was so long ago. And as a result, they miss the greatness of your grace. So, Father, may we not miss the greatness of your grace and really comprehend how serious sin is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Roughly 3,500 years have passed. Yes, nearly 3,500 years have gone by. So let's travel back about that amount of time, get in your time machine with me, with your imagination, and travel 3,500 years ago. We're going to end up in the wilderness. And in that wilderness, we find a very large group of people wandering. They've been wandering over 30 years now. Let's join into their journey. Wandering. Why is this continuing? We spied out the promised land, but the spies told us of giants, and we feared those giants. We did not trust God. We did not trust the Lord who just delivered us from Egypt with great wonders. We did not trust the Lord who parted the waters of the Red Sea so we could walk across on dry land. We did not trust the Lord God, so we're wandering. Wandering in the deserts, and these years have gone by. A little while ago, Miriam, Moses' sister, she died. And not too long after that, Aaron, the high priest, Moses' brother, he died. Aaron's son, Eleazar, is now the high priest. How much longer will Moses be with us? Will he die like Miriam and Aaron? Will he die and leave us wandering in this wilderness? Wandering about here? What's for dinner tonight? Manna. What's for breakfast tomorrow? Manna. Dare I ask, what's for noonday meal? I'm tired of this manna. Day after day, month after month, year after year, the same thing. Manna, 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 manna. On the sixth day, we gather a double portion to rest on the Sabbath. And you know, I detest this manna from God. And that grumbling crossed throughout the camp, yelling at God, yelling at Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Soon after, venomous snakes came crawling into camp. People bitten, people dying from the bites. "Oh, this must be punishment for our sin. The Lord has done this. Moses! Moses, help us. We've sinned when we spoke against the Lord and spoke against you. Pray that the Lord will take the poisonous and venomous snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. It's recorded in Numbers chapter 21, verse 7. "To the artisans, Moses commanded, make a snake in bronze and put it on a pole to be raised up for the people to see. For the Lord God commanded, anyone who is bitten can look at the bronze snake lifted up on the pole and live. If you're bitten, lift your eyes to the bronze snake on the pole and you will live." That's the word of the Lord. The snakes were not taken away. But if you were bitten, look to the bronze snake and you would live. just as the Lord God promised. Okay, now we're going to travel 1,500 years. It's the middle of the night, and Nicodemus has come to talk to Jesus, a Pharisee, a member of the ruling council, a very learned man, a leader of the people, a teacher of Israel, came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Jesus began to speak these things to this teacher of Israel, and this teacher of Israel did not understand nor comprehend. The spiritual truths Jesus was speaking were too hard for Nicodemus to grasp. Born again? Must be born again? Enter my mother's tummy again? No. Must be born of water and the Spirit. Born again. Heavenly things. And then Jesus speaks of Moses lifting up the bronze snake to make clear a heavenly thing through an earthly example. Think about the wonder of God orchestrating history. That event nearly 1,500 years earlier was planned by God so this night Jesus could explain to Nicodemus what was coming. The way to life in the Son of Man. The way of life that would come through Him, Jesus, the Son of Man, the Messiah. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. To Nicodemus, Jesus says the Son of Man must be lifted up. Yes, that must be lifted up is there. There is no getting around this. The Son of Man must be lifted up. John uses the Greek word die. The meaning of this Greek word is it is necessary. It is inevitable. Jesus dying on the cross by crucifixion was not avoidable. Jesus dying by crucifixion was the plan all along, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 9, the second part of verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Crucifixion was considered one of the most brutal and shameful forms of execution. 6th century BC, the Persians had a form of crucifixion. The Greek king Alexander the Great brought it to the Mediterranean in the 4th century BC. Phoenicians in the 3rd century BC brought it to Rome. And the Romans, their brutality, this method of execution was maximized for pain and suffering. This is the way Jesus was to die. It was necessary. It was inevitable. The counsel of God setting the way of salvation. It was necessary. It was inevitable. That is why the Son of Man was born to save. In that desert, about 1,000 years before the Phoenicians set in motion this method of execution, the Romans would eventually bring to a most brutal manner, God showed the Son would be lifted up in a violent death, a death that would bring life. What is it about sin? What is it about sin that only the death of the Son of God can bring remedy? What is it about the fall of Adam that sin has so corrupted our nature That the only cure is the death of the only begotten Son of the Father. We cannot and we must not ignore or make light of the seriousness or severity of sin. We must not be complicit and comply with redefining sin to meet modern relativism's demands to decide what is morally right and morally wrong. To do so would make light of the sacrifice of Christ on that ignominious, humiliating, shameful cross. The cross that Jesus came to die on for us, for our sin. For us and for our sin, Jesus was crucified. He became sin in our place. So righteousness, His righteousness, would become ours. The only way for this great exchange of grace was the cross. The death of the Son of God. Years before, a snake-bitten Hebrew could look up in faith to the bronze snake and would not die due to the snake bite. But that Hebrew people took that act of faith of looking up to the bronze snake if they were bitten. They took that act of faith and turned it into a form of idol worship. Years later, they would be found burning incense to that bronze snake. It's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 18, the events that brought that this was about and how the bronze snake came to be destroyed. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abiah, daughter of Zechariah. He did right what was in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. Sin. Sin is so serious. Sin leads to death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin is so serious that only the death of the Son of God, the only begotten Son given in love for the world, would bring forgiveness. The Son was sent to die for our sins, the sins of the world, and it would open the way to eternal life in Him. Cringe. Cringe at what your sin has done to the Son. Squirm that you are found out in your sin. Come. Come to repentance. Amend your way of life. For you who believe, you have been forgiven. God's compassion for you, lost in your sin. God's love for you, broken in sin. That compassion and love brought about the way of redemption. The Lord does not want anyone to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Do you see the Lord's heart there? Do you see how much the Lord loves you? Recall how Jesus interacted with sinners. The woman caught in adultery. Jesus had compassion. John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus and the woman at the well, Jesus had compassion on her. Jesus said to her, "You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband." She went and brought the town to Jesus, and the town asked Jesus to stay 2 extra days in Samaria, and he did. And from the woman bringing them and Jesus staying in Samaria, many came to believe. How did Jesus interact with tax collectors, prostitutes, the other sinners? He had compassion on them. He would eat with them. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Jesus answered them. That's the Pharisees. Jesus answered, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The desire for sinners to repent is at the heart and at the nature and character of God. Being forgiving is God's nature. Compassion and graciousness is who God truly is. Compassionate, gracious. That is our God. Exodus chapter 34, when he walks by Moses proclaiming his name. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And this is what the Lord proclaimed as he passed by Moses. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So you can see when Jesus said, and John records in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, this is right in the nature of God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Well, let's look at the impact this nighttime visit had on Nicodemus. Sometime later in the ruling council, Nicodemus stands up for Jesus and asks, recorded in John chapter 7, verses 50 and 51. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he was doing?" Later on, after Jesus was lifted up on that cross, Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, took away Jesus' body and prepared it for burial. It was Nicodemus who brought the mixture of aloes and myrrh to anoint Jesus' body. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, together they wrapped Jesus' body with strips of linen and the spices in accordance with the Jewish burial customs, laying Jesus in a newly hewn garden tomb. Do you see how much God's compassion is for you? The desire for you to seek his forgiveness. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. These verses always amaze me. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is gracious. the Lord forgives rebellion, wickedness, and sin. The Lord gave His Son. What shall you do? How will you respond? Sinner, will you repent? Sinner, will you believe Jesus is the Son of God crucified for your sins? Repent. Repent and believe, and you shall certainly be forgiven, and you shall certainly have life. The God loves you. The one and only true God loves you, and you will be forgiven. Even that most dark, vile sin you keep hidden in your soul, you will be forgiven. There is forgiveness, compassion, and grace for you. Jesus died so you may live. Believe and know the love of God. Repent and believe and know the compassion of God right here, right now. Know His grace is for you right here, right now, and forevermore. Because that's what it means to have life in His name. To live forever with Him. That is the gospel. And it is amazing. Forgiveness of sin and life eternal. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.